On today's episode, Jan and I speak with Dr. Chris Bridges of the Starfish Strategic Consulting Team about patterns and trends in student success. Hi, and welcome to the Student Success Higher Ed Podcast. I'm Graham Tracy.
And I'm Jan Day.
Let's get started.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. I am delighted today to be joined by my partner in crime, Graham Tracy, and our guest, Dr. Christopher Bridges, a strategic consultant here with Starfish. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about Chris before we get going. He has over 20 years of experience in strategic planning, student support, and development, as well as administrative leadership and academic partnership. As Dean of Students and Senior Lecturer at Yale NUS College, he was responsible for all aspects of student engagement and development. In his role as Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment at Mansfield University, he led a team that created a record high increase for student retention rates. He has also served at community colleges and private universities. Chris earned his PhD in higher education leadership and administration from Ohio University and his MS in college student personnel from Miami University. Chris, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Jen. I'm happy to be here and it's good to sit down with you and Graham.
Awesome. Well, Chris, you've obviously had a lot of experience, 20 years in the world of higher education. Now you're here at Starfish. Can you tell us a little bit about your role today?
Sure. As a strategic consultant, I get to visit our campuses, our partners, which is a lot of fun for me as I go around the country, really, and talk with a lot of different kinds of institutions in support of the Starfish tool, right? And what I bring and what our team brings, I think, is that larger conversation around culture and culture change when you're implementing something like the Starfish, I think, solution, right? And I'm really excited about that role. I joined about a year ago, and I've been really invested in it ever since then. When I was on the other side of the table for 20 plus years, I was always a little leery of, you know, quote unquote vendors, right? Although I think of us more as partners at this point. I was excited to join Starfish, though, because I think the work we're doing here is actually having an impact on student success. And so that's an exciting role for me to get to play in this company.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so now you get to spread your experience across many, many institutions, right?
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah. So, Chris, you've been in higher education administration for a number of years, a couple of different institutions. You've now, of course, worked with many of our clients. So tell us a little bit about what your perspective is on student success and how it maybe evolved over the years.
Sure. I think when you talk about different institutions, it's interesting because, of course, everyone has unique challenges, but I think there's also themes that run through, especially when it comes to student success. And with my career, perhaps unsurprisingly, it's changed as I've grown in my roles and my positions. And I started in frontline, whether I was, you know, working in the student union or I was at Xavier's Peace and Justice office, working directly with students. And that's where, understandably, my focus was in that direct personal interaction, which is where, honestly, a lot of, if not most of that actually happens, right, in terms of student support. But as I grew in my role, my perspective shifted, and I became responsible for and interested in supporting larger members of staff and faculty on campus in order to support student success on campus, right? So my perspective shifted from only the individual student or groups of students to really more of an institutional level. I think, to be honest, that as I've gone through my career, there's certainly been points, too, where that perspective has been less than positive, right? It's easy sometimes to look around the bigger systems and some of the challenges that higher ed faces, some of our persistent low graduation rates across the nation, for example, mm-hmm. discouraged by that. Mm-hmm. I think that it's continued to grow. And again, it's back to why I find myself at Starfish now. I share with all of my clients, partners, that I'm a first-generation student. It's incredibly important to me to do this work, which is to support other students' success. I've done that traditionally through institutions in my career. For me, Starfish was a larger conversation, right? So how can we provide additional opportunities for systems to provide more support for students? And so I would say that that's really the shift, right? Over time, mm-hmm. look at larger and larger systems and what we're doing to be supportive, because we're asking folks to do so much at the institutional and personal level to support student success. I think some of the solutions are going to come from larger systems, such as Starbucks and other spaces as well.
But you're really talking about scaling student success practices, right? Beyond, when you say systems, you're not meaning just technology systems, right? But processes and other methods at the institution.
Yeah, I agree. That's a much better way to say that.
Okay.
Absolutely scaling. Yeah, when I talk about systems, no, I'm not talking about just things like Starfish. I'm talking about state systems, larger institutional groups. I know we work with a number of groups, systems within states that are working with these tools and these conversations more broadly across their entire system. And I think that's where the changes are going to come as higher ed continues to shift and change and our populations are changing. These are really larger conversations that we have to move beyond just what's happening on the ground to have these and define that success. Again, often I think nationally about that for our American students as these changes come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly student success has become more elevated on campuses, but then even within states and as a national conversation, absolutely. So you're part of the Starfish Strategic Consulting team, and that's a, you know, I guess we've been at that for, Jan, how long now? 18 months, 2 years?
Oh, no. I want to say 2.5 years.
2.5 years now?
First.
Yeah, I think so. At least our senior strategic consultant is, I think, been here just over that period or just about that period.
That's okay. Yeah, my memory faded. So where I'm going with it is, you know, Chris, how does the Starfish Strategic Consulting team really, how does it support student success on campus? Like, what specifically are you doing to help our institutions, our client institutions, with their efforts?
Right. Why in the world do we have a strategic team?
There you go.
Well, we start with a lot of partners. This is a question. I think their experience has been that they have gone out and they've looked for, I think, what the Starfish tool offers, right? And that, you know, from early alerts on up through analytics. And I think they're understandably very focused on that. And some, I think, go in understanding what they're going to get with strategic consulting, but a number aren't quite sure, right? It's a bonus that I think Starfish has additionally added on. And again, goes back to why I'm here personally. But for me, if you're going to use Starfish or a tool like Starfish, right? Or you're going to make any kind of major shift to support your student success and retention on campus, we're back to changes on campuses across the nation again. And this is a cultural change. This is a shift in higher education institutions. You know, by and large, are tough to move. We know that. And asking folks to do a complete shift on campus is a large process. And it's everything. We found that when we're on campus, it starts with simply even setting up something like Starfish Core, right? Talking about our early alerts and other processes. But inevitably, what that does is it raises workflow questions on campus, right? Oh, so what exactly do we do when this, you know, flag comes in letting us know a student's struggling? We want to get that help to them early. What is our process? And some places have that, but some places don't. So that starts a shift, right? Okay, so we need to actually probably write this down and be aware of it and share it and talk about it across campus. But the other piece I think that we're really bringing to campus is taking a look at how campus currently functions and enabling a conversation to happen on campus through conversations that we have with leadership as well as focus groups, just identifying what we call diagnostic conversations, right? Not evaluative, but simply what's happening on the ground right now? And what might we want to look at in order to support a shift towards supporting students in a different way? I think Starfish is a good example of, it's a student-centered process, which is something that drew me to it right away. And I think that's what the data suggests very clearly, is how we find student success, is when we center all of our myriad of efforts across campus onto the student. And that's what happens there. So I think what strategic consulting can do in terms of the very beginning process, right, is come on and help raise the right questions. I often joke we can't give you the answers, although we can provide some wonderful resources. But we are hopefully stirring the pot a little bit and saying, hey, look, if this is where you're headed and these are the goals that you want to meet, you got yourself a fantastic tool. It doesn't do much without the people committed to it. And that's where the consulting process comes in, when we're able to, I really through working with our partners, identify what kind of conversations need to happen on campus, whether that's a focus into advising or strategic planning or data use, problem solving, et cetera, right? And so that's where I think that's the added bonus. And the fact is that we stay partners with them. And of course, our project consultants and our account managers, you know, they got a whole team of people from Starfish that's working with them. It's not just a shiny new toy, have fun with it.
Right, right.
That additional layer, I think, and then my colleagues and I have pretty considerable background in higher ed. That's where we've spent our careers. And so being able to, I think, be the bridge between the two is an exciting opportunity. Mm-hmm. The other piece that the strategic consulting really brings to campus is the analytics conversation. We do some basic training on that and actually using the tool again and again. We were just on campus last week. People are, I think, just blown away by what you can do. I had a director there on campus who mentioned that she had been a quote-unquote human starfish and described the hours and the days and the numbers of offices she had to corral just to get some basic information about students that she's going to get in analytics now in about 5 minutes. And that's, for me, that's where it gets exciting, right? You can see how they're going to use the tool to be more effective, to support more students, and you can see it happening pretty immediately. The other conversations I think that we often get to have around analytics are the really how analytics work and understanding what data points are and what causation or correlation is and saying, look, this is something you can look into without it saying that this is what causes that, right? Mm-hmm. They're broad and I think interesting conversations. And I see us as, being out front on those in that partnership, along with a bunch of other folks from Starfish, of course, that are supporting that from different spaces, including calling in those spaces as well. So that's a little bit, I think, of what we're trying to get done on campus and how we're trying to be supportive of students in those spaces. Yeah. Is that, now you guys, you see from a different space. Does that make sense to you? Or how are you looking at that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think, especially as it pertains to the analytics, I think whether it's higher education or anywhere, people are always struggling to pull the data together. It's not formatted in the right ways. It's in different siloed systems and so on. So I think absolutely an analytics platform bringing it together, but more importantly, somebody like yourself and the other folks on the team who can really explain how to leverage the information now that it's all in their fingertips and they can get at it. I think the next big step is, what do I do with it? Right. And that's where I think you guys come in.
Well, you can sit down, we can talk about closing equity gaps. That's for me when it gets to analytics. It does all kinds of stuff, of course, right? But yeah. the possibility around equity gaps, you know, like every campus I've ever worked on and almost every campus I visit, they have equity gaps between different populations. The populations can vary, right? But they're always there.
Yeah.
Institutions are well aware of the gap and trying the best they can to address it. But what I like about analytics is that we can actually sit down and say, okay, well, what's happening differently for these different populations, right? Where are they having challenges that other students aren't? Or where do we as an institution hold a responsibility to address this? So rather than just being able to talk about that end data point, which is, well, here's the gap, really getting into, okay, well, what's happening first year, first semester, and which classes for them, right? Or what's happening overall as a group compared to this other group? That we can then at least dive into a little bit and see what we can figure out to offer, you know, additional support or challenge as needed to those populations. So yeah, it's some work. Yeah.
Chris, what I hear you're saying about both the consulting, the strategic consulting practice, and tying it in with the tools that we offer, in particular the analytics, is that each institution that you visit has its own challenges, its own culture, its own way of doing things, its own student population. Mm-hmm. And that when you're on campus and working one-on-one or in small groups with the leadership, with the frontline staff, and even talking perhaps to students, you're getting that richer picture of the way things work at that individual institution. And it sounds like you can then apply or take a reading, an assessment of some kind. I think you mentioned a diagnostic around where is this institution in its cultural student success journey and then be able to guide them, not have the answers, but guide them by asking those key questions to see where do they need to move? How do they get to that next step? How do they recognize which, you know, of all the things they could do on campus to help certain types of students, how do they want to prioritize those efforts or allocate resources or make deliberate changes in the way that they approach perhaps a different philosophy in service to their students? Am I getting, is that the right picture of the work that you and the strategic consulting team are doing?
Yeah, I think broadly, very much so, Jan. One of the pieces, a powerful part here is because we do work with so many different kinds of institutions, right? We have Research One universities, we have area technical colleges. I think that speaks to the work that we're doing in that we are flexible and define success at those different kinds of institutions for students. And I think a part of that is our partnership, and a part of that is what you just spoke about, which is aligning, is our understanding of their institution and their particular goals so that the tool is better aligned. And I'll say Starfish, but I would say, again, any tool, right? So that it's better aligned to the student success goals that they have. A lot of times, colleague Ijob and I will joke with them about, we're here to stir the pot, right? and sometimes the answers to the questions, the examples, you know, how are we going to work with this population, or are we going to change a philosophy, or are we going to address this? And my advice is always, the answer can be no, right? But conversation, right? Be intentional about what you are or aren't doing, rather than, very understandably for many campuses and many institutions, you're just kind of playing catch up a lot, right? You're being reactive. It's hard to be proactive. And I think this gives folks a chance to step back, really look at what you've stated as your goals, and how you're going to align Starfish as well as the rest of your institution to meeting those goals, to support those students in the process. Some of the best visits, and we've had a number of these, we do a report out for some of the campus visits, and we're sharing back basically what we've learned from them and sharing some, what we call our humble recommendations, i.e. they know their institution, their students better than we do, but hopefully we have a different perspective, right, that we can share. And my favorite ones are the institutions. We'll have this meeting with leadership, and we'll all be gathered around the table, and we'll finish sharing out and having our conversation. It'll be time for us to leave. They're diving into these conversations. They're already in them. And that, to me, is, okay, we've done our job here, right? They've identified, oh, that is something we should be discussing, and they're already starting to plan how they're going to do that, to the point where we sometimes have to say, well, you know, excuse us, our time is up, and I, you know, this is your conversation. You know, it's not really my conversation anyway, but that's how invested they get. And that's when I think, for me, that's always a sign that we've done good work, that we've been helpful to them in order to be helpful to their students. And I think that's some of the outcomes you see in those processes.
And Chris, related to that, can you, because you just started at the end there, giving us a little glimpse of what a visit looks like, the actual, when you, I'm thinking a lot of people are out here nodding their heads if they're listening and they're saying, okay, this makes sense. I would need to scale things. I need to use data and analytics and so on. What's the picture of an actual on-site visit when you go for the first time? What does that look like?
Sure. I think the visit the first time, we're speaking with our partners there at the institution before we arrive, and we're doing our own research before we go so that we can learn what we can from a distance about the institution. And then our days are really connected to two major pieces. We're doing what we call a readiness assessment. And that's a lot of what I've been speaking about in this process today, which that's where the focus groups come in. And we're talking with people across campus, frontline staff, faculty, academic leadership, students, you know, the IR, IT team, the Starfish implementation team, anybody we can get our hands on, really. We combine that information with, we work with the leadership team as well on campuses and ask them to do some self-assessment. And within both groups, the process is slightly different, but we're really trying to get to answers around, or I should say a better understanding of, strategic planning, data use, problem solving, student success goals, and how you're getting there. You know, the capacity and communication on campus. These kind of big picture pieces, right? We use all that and the data we gathered before to, that's where we make our report That's how we build the report that we then share back with the institution that lets them see, you know, kind of what leadership said, as well as what the focus group said, what we saw on campus, so we can give that different perspective as well as some ideas of what might hold additional value. In addition to that piece, we also work with what we call the intervention inventory, which is an amazing tool. Campuses are always excited about the opportunity. Every campus is doing so much for students right now. And you sit them all down in a room and we start talking about it. We ask them to start listing them. They can usually bust out about 50, literally just sitting in a room for 10 minutes. And then we realize that even the people in the room don't even know just the first 50 that we listed, right? And so we actually get folks into that tool during our visit. And that tool is a place to gather all those different interventions so that folks across campus can get that help to students quicker. I think it in correlation with an early alert system, which we see, I think, a little bit more often, which is, okay, this student's struggling academically, and we need to know that before mid-October, right? So let's identify that, and let's get them to the right help. The intervention inventory works in a similar way. I always think of a new staff member, a new faculty member on campus who's sitting across from a student who's coming to speak with them, maybe about something else, but happens to mention that they're having a food insecurity issue, or maybe that they're a veteran, or whatever the case might be, and they need some additional help. The intervention inventory gives a place for that staff or faculty member who's on that front line dealing with the student directly to quickly get them to the resources on campus that they might not inherently know exist, right? And I think that's a nice space to share as well the first time out, so that campuses can start developing that tool, in partnership with the other parts of Starfish to make these student success goals become more real for the student. And it goes back to the earlier conversation we had when I do think the majority of why I'm interested in these larger, scaling student success, the majority of this does happen still face-to-face. A lot of the scaling is about how do we support those face-to-face folks so that they're doing the best work they can, have the best resources they can, and getting to the students they need to get to. And that's where that all comes together in those kinds of spaces. And that starts, with our first visit.
So you go on campus, you've been to dozens of institutions in your time with Starfish, plus your own experience. After so many campus visits, are you seeing any patterns or trends in terms of what leadership sort of wakes up in the middle of the night worried about? Or, when you're interviewing students, do you hear common themes?
Sure. Everybody needs more parking. That's probably the most.
I love it.
It's true. Right? There's never enough parking. It's never close enough.
Yeah.
But there's not much we can do about that one. But of course, you see themes in the process. It's a very qualitative process, actually, in general. So when we're doing the focus groups and pieces I mentioned, we're also coding all that information. That's how we're creating the report. So it's very much qualitative research, in action on campuses. And so, of course, out of that qualitative research comes themes and trends that are pretty easy to identify. And of course, we're seeing across the nation, everyone we're talking with, everyone's concerned about enrollment. And we know that the East and the Northeast in particular, the population size is driving some of that, but it's happening across the nation. And folks we've had a recent dip, we've kind of come back up. Folks are starting to plan for the 2025 big dip that's coming and bounce back in the same way. And that's part of why we're on campus, but clearly retention is, I think, the key component for enrollment at this point, is getting the right people on campus and then keeping them there. And that's great because that's student success and that's institutional success, right? And how are we going to be successful in this space? And I go back to that national graduation rate, which has hovered around a ridiculous 50% forever, which really in my mind is unacceptable, right? I'm not pointing to any individual institution. That's the national rate, again, roughly. And that's something that I like that that's the theme. I like that that's the trend and that's the work we're doing because that's where we need to get better, right? So I think that's a big, probably unsurprising piece for leadership across campus, or excuse me, across institutions. Thinking about students, and we talk with student groups, and I think I hear two clear themes come out, one of which is that students want to connect and be heard. And some campuses do this better than others. Students always would like to have a voice, and students always, of course, have an opinion. And it varies, of course, at different times of what the value is or the actionability on those are. But we hear that clearly from everybody. They want to be heard, and they want to feel like they've been heard. And they're really looking to connect, not only in their voice and their opinions, but connect on campus. And again, research best practice tells us that that connection is what helps them be successful as well. So they're certainly out there looking for it. I think the second theme for students, it's finances, over and over again, and all the things that that brings, right? Because finances are a challenge, like something they're worried about. And then they have a job because finances are challenged. So now it's a time issue with their school. They're all there. They have this wonderful goal of graduating, you know, a 2 or 4 year degree. But this is the challenge for them. And that's certainly the theme for every institution. And certainly for 90%+ of the student body is being aware of those financial challenges and trying to work around them and be successful while doing so. Right. Now, share one last one. I think that's because we see it. I don't think I've found an institution, certainly not one that I've worked at, maybe one that I visited. Communication is always a challenge. And the reason I think there's a sense out there sometimes that college or university is it's a big high school, right? It's an extension of the education system. Mm-hmm. So, you know, communication shouldn't be that hard. I like to think of it more as, you know, it's a small or large town with many competing goals and different things happening and different expectations on campus. And because it's got such a variety of folks doing so many different things, communication becomes a real challenge. So even when people are doing good work, I think, or have good expectations, it often hinges back on that. Are we talking to everyone? Is everyone in the loop? And have we said it over and over and over and over again? So those are certainly some of the themes that come out broadly from leaders and students, and then I think for campuses as a whole.
So as you're traveling to different campuses, I know you're seeing different things, you're experiencing different physical locations and the quirks that they have. Each institution has its own culture and approach to improving student outcomes. Are there a couple of what you consider really creative interventions or supports that institutions have come up with to either identify and improve the outcomes for different kinds of at-risk students?
Yeah, there's a lot happening, and there's no doubt about that, and it does vary across institutions. But there are some neat things, and I'll tell you too, I think some of it, like everything, you need to do it on your institution and measure it, because I don't think everything is transfer, you know, best practice of whatever, you know, it doesn't work on every institution for whatever reason. But the folks that I'm seeing that are doing it, it's working. And we're at a 4 institution, and they've done some really, they identified students of color and an equity gap on their campus. Again, not unusual, right? But they're actually doing some really good work around this and building strong cohorts of these students. And they're measuring and showing improvement in academic scores and retention scores by doing so. And for me, that's an exciting space. And it's exciting to see that happening and the institution strongly working towards it and supporting it, right? With faculty and staff and the way that they're designing pieces as well. At a couple of institutions, 2 and 4 year actually, I've seen a real big growth in peer mentoring with the older students in the class with first year or first term students. And that's showing really good results as well. You know, it's resource and time intensive, but bringing in the upper class students, connecting them with entering students and actually having them be in either a gen ed class or a college intro class with the entering student, we're creating relationships. They're helping the students kind of walk through the process, and they're in those spaces with them. And that's showing, I think, some really great retention results from that, i.e. student success, students doing better for those areas. The other interesting trend, and I don't know, I haven't done the full research on this yet, but I think it's coming. We're seeing some really exciting success for institutions as they're changing. I think we hear a lot in the industry about, and I have, right, the last 10, 20 years, higher ed's changing, right? And it continues to do so. But we're seeing institutions change who they are. So I saw, we worked closely with a traditional two-year institution who is now offering more bachelor's degrees. Hmm. And they're out, they're in the East. their population is growing. They're taking off like crazy. Now they're doing a lot of other things really well too, right? They're very aligned on their goals for student success and they're working strongly towards them. But I think that as they've allowed themselves and their identity to change and encompass more students, we're seeing students that are coming there for tech or might have traditionally come there for a two-year degree being able to more easily access different options. It's not for everybody, nor should it be, right? Mm-hmm. It's there now for them and their population's growing. At the same time, you've got a four-year institution, again in the East, who is doing some amazing partnerships with community colleges, right? We often see agreements between schools, but we also know that's still often a challenge for our students as they transfer. One of the biggest challenges is transferring from the community college to the four-year institution, no matter how strong the agreements are. Now, this institution, they've actually moved some of the community colleges or their campus, their classes to their main four-year campus. They're allowing or encouraging, inviting the two-year students. You know, the welding students are living on campus alongside liberal arts students, right? So both institutions are coming at this from different starting points, but I think ending up in a very similar place, which is we're just seeing a larger blend of what can be done. I've often been in the conversation about, you know, the liberal arts versus job training. Sometimes we get bogged down on that for higher ed, I think. And I think these two that I just offered are really, it's the blended model, right? Where you have both good job training opportunities, whether it's two or four year, as well as some other additional offerings for students who are going for a higher education degree. And I think should get additional opportunities in that process, right? Nice. So those are the things that I'm seeing happening. I think Starfish, in processes like that, clearly if I'm on campus, they're working with us. But back to that student-centered space, we're sharing notes. We're really focusing on the student needs and helping them be successful. And that is happening across the nation as well, as we're understanding better what we need to do to support students on campus so that they can be successful. Sometimes we'll hear stories all too often. Back in my day, you know, we didn't need this. We didn't need all this extra support. We did just fine. Now, of course, we're hearing that from the person who did just fine. And I don't know what their background is or what their experience was. It might have been incredibly hard. But regardless, I always go back to, that's great because you're the person sitting here telling me that. You're one of the 50% who's able to do so.
Right.
The ones who lost, right? And so the fact that we and institutions are focusing in and saying we need to do more to support the student in their journey is an exciting trend and something that I'm sure will continue, as there's also that kind of business line underlying it, which is the retention piece, so that we can be a successful institution. So it's a nice partnership of supporting institutions and students.
So Chris, I love the way you turned that around, right? When people bring up some of those objections and being able to sort of turn it around and get them rethinking, like, oh, you're right, I am sitting on this side of the table.
Yeah.
Which makes me think, so if you had a magic wand that you could wave across all of the institutions across this land, right? And have three wishes for what you would hope that campus leaders or faculty staff, any of the stakeholders would do to improve student success. I almost think this should be like a speed round. Jim, we got to add a speed round to our podcast, you know?
love it.
In the interest of time, like, are there two or three things that you really wish people would get and start doing or break through on or anything like that?
Sure. But, well, my kids have trained me that when given this choice, the first answer is to ask for more wishes. But I'm going to assume that I don't have that option. I'll give you a couple, and I'd love to hear from you guys what your wishes might be as well. So I'll give you that heads up now so you can be thinking about it too. But I think if there's things that we could do and make it, the first thing I would say, to I would love to see every institution and leaders and members, we have to speak out more about the defunding that's happened to higher ed. I'm in a much bigger scale here, and I understand that. But it's a reality that as a country, we have defunded higher education. Mm-hmm. Process put it all on the individual's back, right? And this is a much larger conversation.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we have, as a nation, shifted, I think, our understanding of higher ed or higher education. And again, I'm speaking to 2, 4-year, 6-year, what have you, to the individual and said, okay, this is only an individual good and it gets you a job. And I think that's part of it. But I think we used to recognize better as a nation that this is also good for us as a nation to educate our citizens. Mm-hmm. And I think that for too long now, you know, for about 40 years or so, we have allowed state by state to be defunded. And we're defunding our students and we're defunding our future. And I do think that institutions, every member of the institution, this is my wish, needs to speak about this more often. Because it does, and it affects our private institutions as well as our public. They are also getting public funding. It's everybody's in this, but particularly our state schools, right, and state-supported schools. This is where the crush is coming, and this is where a lot of our student success challenges come from originally. And so that's a conversation I'd like to see institutions really just get on the same page with and be supportive of. So that's my first wish. That one should be easy, right?
We'll get that. Yep. Check.
I think my second wish would probably go to, I really think we should center in on equity gaps. They're different in different places. I said this earlier with different populations, right? But all too often that populations happen to be Black or African American, right? And all too often that even drills down into men, right? We talk a lot on campus about the changing student body, and often that refers to first gen folks like myself. But it also is referring to students of color who are increasing in population across the nation in terms of college entry students. And on many of the campuses, not all, those are campuses are white-led and largely white faculty, which is fine, but we need to have real conversations about that. You know, again, I'm going big with my wish. I think race underlies conversation needs to happen across the nation. But I think we really see it play out on college and university campuses. And I really think we have real opportunities there where we bring people together from different backgrounds to have real conversations. My wish would be that the institution, or that more, I should say, more are having, would have more direct conversations about what this means for the institution and what it means about supporting students and about what the responsibilities of institutions of higher ed are around these conversations. It's happening in pockets, like what we like to call when we visit campuses, pockets of excellence. Absolutely. It needs to be broader if we're going to find broader success. Again, as we start looking, you know, 10 years down the road about where we want to be, either as the community that your institution is centered in or as a nation. So there's my second one.
Okay, three.
So that should be easy, right?
So bring us home.
We're going to fund everybody and solving race relations in America.
Problem solved.
And then finally, I think, because I'll take my full three. This one's a little bit more on ground, on campus. I think I see success in institutions that really define who they are, right? That have clearly defined who they are sharing that mission across campus. When you can talk to any staff or faculty or student or community member, and they can tell you what that who that institution is, who they serve, and what they do, I think that's a lot of success, right? And so that's what I would kind of wish for everybody. And I think when you have that space, that's how you work around challenges like a lack of resources or a lack of people or whatever because you can set priorities when you know who you're trying to do. And so that would be my wish for them. You know, really lock into that. And I think that would help everybody, every institution really that doesn't have it, take a step forward and thus create, you know, more success for our students in those spaces.
On that.
Three big ones there. Oh, sorry, Jan. I was going to say, do you have a wish out there, Jan? I was going to throw you one.
Oh, well, I was going to riff on that last wish of yours, Chris. You know, the importance of being able to say who you are and what you do, right? Being able to really crisply define your institution's mission and vision and live it also means you're saying what you're not. Mm. And I think being able to identify across the board crisply those things allows an institution to get closer to my wish, which is institutional alignment, meaning where from the top to the bottom, background staff to frontline staff, someone who's been there 25 years to someone who just started last week, they understand what are the big goals and what is their individual role in helping the institution achieve those goals. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, if the president has the goal of improving, you know, moving the retention 10 percentage points between now and 2025, and I'm way down on the totem pole because I just started last week, and you know, one of the first conversations I would love for my manager to have with me is to explain, how am I going to help the president move that number, mm-hmm. in the role that I have on that campus? I think all too few institutions have that level of alignment from top to bottom.
Mm. Yeah, it's sort of like, so your wish is more about like defining themselves better and then messaging that and aligning people. And I think mine is similar, Jan, in that maybe taking it a little bit differently is saying, I wish that there were maybe a reckoning around the structures of our organizational structure in higher education, mm-hmm. that I find so many of the student success interventions or strategies, initiatives that are happening involve so many offices that are so siloed for so long and report up to different vice presidents and different, you know, leaders at the campus that also have competing or other interests, that it's very difficult to accomplish some of that alignment. I feel like there's some, maybe some reckoning to happen still to come, if I'm to forecast, as student success becomes a more and more important thing on campus, and as Chris has said, in the country.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good point, because we've just become more and more siloed, you know, through the decades, right? And I hopefully we're starting to see that reverse. And I think you're right, that's a key component of making this happen for our students. It's not an easy one to do, but it's going to be necessary. I appreciate you framing that as a forecast, and we're going to see it happen. It's going to have to, as everything shifts coming up, and resources and focus on student success together. That makes perfect sense to me that we're going to see that happen, because it's going to have to, right?
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining Graham and me here today. I loved hearing about your work on campus across the U.S., different kinds, and the thought and care that our strategic consulting team brings when they're working with individual institutions. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you both so much. It's a really wonderful conversation. I always enjoy the opportunity to get to myself step back and reflect on some of these questions that you asked me today. So thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting service. Also, show notes can be found on our website at studentsuccesshe.com. And if you have questions or thoughts to share, please leave us a comment on our website, Facebook, or Twitter at Student Success HE. Until next time.